All About ECK by Paul Twigill. Copyright COPYRIGHT 1968 by Paul Twigill, all rights reserved. Second printing 1972. The Illuminated Way Press, P.O. Box 5325, Las Vegas, NV. 89102. Table of Contents. The Sharat Chai Sigmad, The Way of the Eternal. The Confusion in Our Spiritual Affairs. Space Travel by Out of Body Projection. Made Whole Again by Spiritual Healing. Resistance to the Spirit of God. Temples of Golden Wisdom. An Anatomy of Soul Records. Astral Projection, Limited Out of Body Travel. Out of Body Teachings via the Dream State. Longevity of the Ancient Adepts. The Function of the Spiritual Traveler in One's Life. The Raging Debate of God's Existence. Spiritual Realization Will Resolve Our Difficulties. The Great Spiritual Protest. New Concepts of the God Realization State. The Illumination of the True Spiritual Work. CCK Vidure, The Akasa Science of Prophecy. Astrology, Reincarnation and Karma. UFOs are visitors from astral planes. Initiation, its place in our spiritual growth. The impotency of meditation as a way of enlightenment. Meditation, Eastern versus Akankaya, is the new age messiah in our midst. 5, 8, 11, 14, 18, 22, 25, 29, 33, 36, 41, 46, 49, 52, 55, 58, 61, 65, 68, 71, 76, 81, 84. The Sharat Chai Sigmad, The Way of the Eternal. The Sharat Chai Sigmad, which means the way of the eternal, is the ancient scripture of the path of Akankar, the ancient science of soul travel, or total consciousness. It is possibly one of the oldest we know about on this earth planet. The Sanskrit writings consist of the Vedas, Upanishads and Mahabharata, which can hardly be traced beyond 10,000 years on this planet. The Sharat Chai Sigmad is said to be known before the great antediluvian deluge of this world, and beyond, into the hoary years of those so-called mythical continents we know as Lemuria and Atlantis. The Nakal records are said to be among the first of the religious writings known to us which contain scattered references to Akankar, or total consciousness. Only to monasteries in Tibet, located in the remote mountains, have any of these writings in keeping. These monasteries are so well hidden that it is doubtful that many can find them, not even the Buddhist lamas who have gained the power of moving about the ether at their own volition. The keepers of these records are careful in their guardianship of them. Nobody can enter these monasteries unless first screened by a group of monks who can read the seeker's aura as we can scan a daily newspaper. However, the Sharat Chai Sigmad, which is the guide for those five who wish to reach the heavenly kingdom via the route of Akankar, is kept in a golden temple of wisdom and beauty in the spiritual city of Agamdes, which lies in the high wilderness of the Hindu Kush mountains in Central Asia. Only those who are able to travel in the soul body can reach this strange community of adepts and study the ancient scriptures of truth. Akankaya is closer to being in its original form than any of the philosophical or religious teachings today. It is neither a religion, philosophy, nor metaphysics, for it is a path to God that we call Akmarg, meaning, of course, the path of Akankar. It has been handed down by word of mouth from Rama, the first known world savior, who came out of the deep forests of northern Europe. He traveled across to Persia, where he paused long enough to give these secret teachings to a few mystics whose descendants were to become the followers of Zoroaster, the Persian sage. Rama proceeded to India, where he settled and taught that we could have the experience of God in our own lifetime. Akankar was revealed to Rama by one of the ancient spiritual travelers. It is likely that he was lifted out of the body and taken to the city of Agamdes, where the Sharat Chai Sigmad was viewed. Here he had the opportunity to study its contents. No written instructions had been put down for the followers of Akankar, nor any part of it, until about the 16th century, when Kabir, the Hindu mystic poet, took it upon himself to unwrap the mysteries of the ancient science of soul travel. There was a corruption of the original teachings, which were by word of mouth, and several other paths came out of it, for example, Shabd Yoga, Magi, Cult of Dionysus, and a few others. Each branched off into its own way as a path to God. Basically, the main principle or vital part remains in the form we know as out-of-the-body projection, which is far beyond astral or any of the other lower body movements. The Sharatkai Sigmad consists of 12 chapters, each about 30,000 words, made up of cantos or verse in 6, dialogue form. The Sigmad, God in English, speaks to his chief disciple Satnam, sometimes called the Satprasha, the Lord of the worlds as we know the spiritual plane of soul, or the fifth region. Many believe he is the supreme Sigmad, but he is only the first manifestation of God. Statements of the highest spiritual nature are attributed to Satnam, to show that God wants all souls to be lifted into the heavenly realm again. For example, "I'm eternal, therefore I am free, all who come unto me shall experience the freedom of eternity." Freedom is a completeness within itself, for soul must enter into the divine light, or suffer the effects of the lower realify. The true reality is spirit, in any universe of mine. Ah, he who looks upon it as giving him existence and experience is indeed a wise man. The ancient manuscript is a true light for the Word of God. It takes up and discusses every phase of life in both the matter worlds and the higher planes. Those who are fortunate to be able to peruse its golden pages are indeed enlightened souls. Usually it is the spiritual travelers who make it their concern to study this golden book of wisdom and spread its light to those who will listen. Indeed, as Rebazar does, the torchbearer of Akankai in the world today, points out, only the courageous and adventurous in spirit ever have the opportunity to see and study its wondrous pages. 7. Confusion in our spiritual affairs. The subjects of religion, philosophy, metaphysics and occultism seem to be on a rampage among the peoples of the world in our times. Truthfully, there has never been a more confused state of spiritual affairs than exists in all the topics named in the above paragraph. The problem of spirituality, which is the overall effect of religion, philosophy, metaphysics and occultism, is that no two writers or two teachers hardly ever agree upon any point. There are two reasons for this. First, everyone fits knowledge to his own state of consciousness, and second, because of the confusion in semantics which exists in the language of the whole of spiritual subjects. Strange as it may sound, we all have the tendency to fit any teachings to our spiritual understanding. Thus, a person with little or lack of knowledge may reject the highest teachings because he doesn't understand. Christ was not accepted by everybody. In fact, he was rejected by the Pharisees and other sects, including the Brahmins of India, so that his life was demanded. This is generally the fate of anyone who tries to break new ground in the spiritual field. So much of the essentials of the spiritual works comes from the 8, the East, and brings with it the confusion of various wording of phenomena and aspects whenever Oriental terms are used. But once we brush away the confusion, then the concept of the terms becomes clear. For example, that reality we know as God in the Anglo-Saxon language has thousands of names in foreign tongues. For example, Brahma in Hinduism, Allah by the Muslims, Satnam by many of the various sects in India, and Sigmad by those who follow the path of Akankar. Other names are Ak, Anami, Satprasha, Hari Ray and Amma. No wonder there is so much confusion. We must not be perplexed by words and symbols. We must go to the heart of all things, in order to understand the divine reality and its principle of creation and survival. If we do not do this, then, frankly, one will continue to wander about until the hardships of life force him into looking for the center of creation of all things. Until he does, this wandering will be a suffering for the individual. This means that anyone interested in any subject of the spiritual realm must certainly be very careful of how much he reads, studies and participates in meditation, for the simple reason that once he goes beyond a certain point, there is no return. It's like a plane flying from Tokyo to San Francisco. When it crosses a certain longitude and latitude, the pilot must keep going towards his final destination, for now he has passed the point of no return. This raises the thought that now we are confronted with the problem of what is going to happen to that individual who has crossed this invisible line and moved into the inner realms of the spiritual worlds. Under a competent teacher, he is taken care of. But with any teacher who has no experience in the work, he is liable to get into areas of trouble. An example of such troubles can be that too much study of any spiritual works, too much participation in meditation and reading leads to lifting the vibrations of the person. If his vibrations are lifted, and are not under any control by himself, or, 9, someone who is trying to help, it means that he may become opened as a channel for spirit, and this divine power flowing through him can come through at too strong a vibratory rate. It means the power has to go somewhere, and like a highly charged electrical bolt it will attack the weakest part of the body. Troubles begin with health and other forms of material problems. The individual affected is greatly puzzled by this phenomenon. He doesn't understand what is going on inside himself. So he continues to put the pressure on for study, practice and meditation, and often prayer, to get out of this situation. But the stronger he does this, the greater become his problems. Some teachers rationalize this with the fact that he is serving out a karma, or that troubles always come to a person who goes into the field of spirituality. Granted that the two reasons are somewhat correct, they are not always the complete basis for his troubles. Any teacher worth his salt in this field should be able to help the kila gradually unfold so that spirit flows through his follower gently, giving him the proper benefits of both spiritual and material help. The guru must slow down the vibrations of the kila when they have become too strong. He must keep control of the kila's spiritual actions until the latter is able to fend for himself. One must be prudent in whatever he does in the field of spirituality, for it is a different life from what he lives here within this earth world, and his out-of-body awareness will often be of a different nature than he ever expected. Truth is actually an individual process of consciousness. It depends upon the individual how much he, himself, is going to know and learn of it. 10. Space travel by out-of-body projection. Space people have been coming to this planet for several thousand years for the purpose of exploration to find certain minerals and vegetations that are not in abundance on their own respective planets. They have particular places on this planet to land spaceships in hidden protection and safety, or when they have arrived by direct projection from their own material bodies. Sometimes they arrive on Earth at the spiritual city of Agam Des, near Tirachmia, one of the highest mountain peaks in the world. It is about 25,000 feet high, in Central Asia, and located on the borders of Kashmir and Afghanistan. Other times they land in Shamba, or Dhamka, or one of the other spiritual cities on this planet, of which there are 7 to 10 major ones in all. It has mainly been Agam Des, the mysterious city of the ancient brotherhood, because of the protection afforded them against human curiosity and the condition which is needed when changing from another type of body to the earth form, or moving from outer space to this lower world of coarser vibrations. Most of those who have any degree of experience in getting in and out of the body at will, which we call soul travel, know of these space travelers and their landing points on Earth. We know that many space people arrive here via soul travel from other 11 planets. They, like ourselves, have learned the methods of Ikanka, the ancient science of leaving the body by one's own volition. Likewise, anyone who has gained experiences of being out of the body, through Ikanka, the most ancient of sciences, knows that he has the same opportunity as the space visitors. He too, by spirit projection, can come and go as he wishes to Agam Des, or enter the city of Rutes on Venus where that planet's government is established. He can travel through inner planes known only to the spiritual scientists as the supreme realm of God. He who has developed his latent skills in soul travel is able to explore worlds unknown to scientists and astronauts, worlds known only to himself and the space visitors. Some persons who have learned the techniques of Ikanka, in the soul travel workshops which I have held at the California Parapsychology Foundation in San Diego, were able to visit other planets, at will, and communicate with the inhabitants. They learned about the conditions in these worlds, but it is seldom that any one of them will do much talking to someone outside these workshops, because the finger of derision is generally pointed at anyone who claims to out-of-body experiences. Rigpa Zardoz, the great Tibetan Lama, reputed to be over 500 years old, was responsible for my first visits to the spiritual city of Agam Des. Few go to this strange place, for they must visit by invitation only and then by spirit body. Ikankar was imported here from Venus by an unknown race who are living in Agandes, and whom we know as the Eshwarkane Whale, or simply as the God Eaters. They are an ancient brotherhood of adepts who brought the science of soul travel to this planet from Venus, millions of years ago, and who have since received space visitors in Agandes as a way station between the physical planes and the spiritual planes to help these space visitors make adjustment between the 12 worlds. These God-eaters attained their name because they absorb the cosmic energies instead of food as the people of this planet do in assimilating plants and foods here. They have an extreme longevity like the patriarchs of the Old Bible, and in some cases even longer. Many of the visitors who came peacefully to this planet via Agandes are known for their long life, because they, too, have learned the same trick of absorbing the cosmic energies, like their brothers in the ancient circle of adepts. These space visitors are generally members of the same order known to most of us as the Bochakon, or the eagle-eyed adepts, for example, Rebazartaz, who has cold, black piercing eyes and can see for great distances. Their Bible is called the Sharat Kai Sigmad, the Way of the Eternal. So many of those in the flying saucers and those who have projected themselves directly to this Earth planet have first arrived at the city of Agandes. This was done in order to acquaint themselves with the standard course of vibrations existing on this planet. These visitors and the inhabitants of the cities where they stop briefly communicate in an unknown language. It is so old that it could be one of the first ever spoken on this planet. 13. Made whole again by spiritual healing. I was pulled back from death and made whole again by my stepsister, who knew the art of spiritual healing, when everything else had failed. Since then I have healed many by the same method she used, with additional knowledge, for that was a long time ago. Looking back now at what happened, it all seems a terrible dream. Long ago, when I was 5 and pleurisy had set in, I was sinking rapidly with a racking cough and a fever that was burning me like bacon in a skillet. Nobody seemed to know that I was close to death except my stepsister, who was proficient in the art of soul travel. No attempt had been made to put me in the hospital, but I was getting loads of pills. Nothing was making any headway at this time, and even at that age I was aware that I was not long for this world. My father was overseas at the time, and our stepmother would not take any action on her own. So it was my stepsister who interceded and saved my life with spiritual healing. She did it by one of the oldest methods, out-of-the-body projection and healing of the astral body, which reacted upon the physical and made it whole again. She slipped into my room late that night, which was likely to have been my last one, and sat down beside the bed in the Lotus 14 posture, took a couple of deep breaths and slipped out of her physical form into the Atmos Arup, the soul body. She took me out with her, also in the soul body, and we hung off the ceiling like a pair of eyes viewing the body on the bed below. We were now looking at my astral body, which hung upright over the bed. It was like a large X-ray of my human form. The astral body was filled with a dark, angry flame, and racked with shudders that might have been from coughing. The furious blaze was located in the left side, just under the heart. She indicated this to me and impressing me with the thought, she said, "You shall be made whole again." A racking pain went through me, but it was gone as quickly as it came. The fire within the astral body simmered down like coals in the deep bunkers of a furnace and died away. A blue and golden light began to glow around the astral body like a deep, illuminated aurora. It was the magnetic aura which shines about all persons. Instantly I knew that all was well and that the living clay lying on the bed would be my temple again. A feeling of jubilance flowed through me as though it were a river of light. However, there was a dislike to go back into the body again. But my stepsister impressed me that it was necessary. The next moment I remember awakening to find the family standing by the bed, completely surprised at the swift recovery of their youngest child. 2 weeks later, when my father returned home, I heard him thank my stepsister for saving my life. It seemed that he had projected himself to the house, from a far distance, for the same reason, only to find my stepsister taking care of it. Healing in this manner is one of the oldest arts. Many of the saints, for example, Saint Vincent Ferrer, St. Thomas, Street Teresa, Shamsi Tabriz, Street Swithin, Jildin Rumi and hundreds of others, too numerous to mention, were capable of healing in this manner. The spiritual giants who have walked this earth have mostly been free of human illnesses because of their ability to heal themselves as well as many others. But one thing most of 15 them have done is to heal by use of the Atmasarup, the soul body. Since this first experience I have witnessed many types of healing methods, but none of these including spirit operation, has had the success of soul projection. Nothing is required of the individual who desires to regain his health via those who use the Atmasarup for healing. Usually the request is made orally or by letter, however it is not always necessary that the individual make his request in this manner, for it has been proven many times that once he puts his mind on the healer or sends out a prayer to the healer, a transformation takes place at once. A miracle happens, transforming him into a being made completely whole again. The healer has received the request via the etheric planes and makes the adjustment at once. Distance is no barrier at all in healing. In my files are letters from practically every country in the world testifying to the success of this method. Many have never seen a picture of me. Many have had successful healing the moment their letters were dropped in the mails. A typical excerpt from a letter is, "Since I had an experience of healing on April 23rd, I have been showing constant improvement. The experience I make reference to was one that came over me suddenly and overwhelmingly. I was in bed and the conviction that I would be made whole came, as if from out of nowhere, as my mind was not consciously concerned with my state of health. This strong conviction was like a ball of light. It stayed with me for hours, and as I said, my improvement has been constant since." This person had suffered for 20 years from a chronic stomach and intestinal condition, but the request was made by a relative without his knowledge until after its mailing. Many letters confirm healings in a similar manner. A woman was taken to a hospital for a serious operation. It was doubtful that she could survive because of her age, but to the surprise of all, she was dismissed in 4 days and has since been extremely active. 16. The explanation of this progress is simple. Whenever anyone opens himself as a channel for the Holy Spirit to flow through, it doesn't matter where he might be, anywhere in the world, or in other planes or planets, he is able to administer to others. Often he gets into the Atmasarup and looks at the astral body of those who have made the request for spiritual healing, as my stepsister did for me when she saved my life. When the problem is located in the astral body, then the Holy Spirit flows through the soul body of the healer into that of the patient's astral body and the healing is done. Sometimes the person's aura will show what state of health he is in. Occasionally a letter arriving at my desk carries the aura of the person with it, and I can see what is wrong without having to get into the Atmasarup to look at the astral body of the person requesting the healing. There are times when some healing efforts are not responded to, but if the person affected makes the contact in time, the response will be greater. This response is reacted to in several ways. Some persons are healed completely in a miracle manner. Sometimes the person gets such a spiritual uplift that his unhealthy symptoms no longer bother him. Then there are the ones whose ailments belong to a karmic condition and must be given relief until this state is worked through. The condition must be removed before they can improve. Healing is only one aspect of Ikankar, the secret science of soul travel. Its primary purpose is to give soul an opportunity to travel the ancient, secret path to the realm of God, where it becomes a co-worker with the Supreme Deity. 17. Resistance to the Spirit of God. Resistance to the Holy Spirit is what brings so many difficulties to the seekers of truth. Belief in his own lack of understanding, which does not see truth in either a partial or whole state, is that which gives added karma to anyone who puts himself in the position of not realizing the difference between the states of human consciousness and God realization. It is one of the peculiarities of life that man in his egoistic self does not recognize the fact that when he commits an overt or covert act against anyone who is high on the spiritual scale, he is resisting the Holy Spirit. Thus the results of his act will return to him swiftly. The teacher, guru, master, or spiritual traveler who acts as an instrument through which the Holy Spirit flows outwardly is not concerned with what the culprit does, for there is no resistance to any maleficence or hostility towards himself. An example of this is the case of the murderers of St. Thomas à Becket, the mate and Archbishop of Canterbury, in 1170, who was the victim of King Henry II in a quarrel over the authority of the church and the state. The four knights who carried out the assassination of St. Thomas à Becket received the dire punishment of the Holy Spirit. Using the consciousness of the Pope, it forced them to give up their properties and fight in the Holy Land for the cross, a hard sentence indeed for proud men. 18, who were captured by the Saracens and lived like lepers for the remainder of their lives. This is an extreme example of what happens when anyone resists or destroys a channel of the Holy Spirit. History does not record what happened to those who condemned Christ and those who carried out the orders of his crucifixion. But we do know that Pilate, who was responsible for the shifting of the decision to the mob for his death, served out the rest of his life in a state of madness. Judas committed the grave error of betraying Christ for 30 pieces of silver, and gave up his own life by hanging. One cannot sell or betray a channel of the Holy Spirit for materialistic means. The slightest act against any channel of God comes back swiftly to the doer. This is true even when one gossips and uses malicious talk about the God-realized people. Personal examples can be given here about those who do not understand the nature of anyone that dwells in the higher consciousness, and the troubles that befell them when they attempted to belittle or ridicule the teachings of the blessed channels of God. The greatest evidence here is that you see the spiritualized ones rise higher, and the maligners go down the survival scale in spirit attitude with a loss of spiritual and worldly goods. This is not magic in any form which punishes the culprit and gives benefits to the spiritualized ones. No, indeed, it is only the working of the Holy Spirit through the consciousness of those who are willing to let it use them as a channel. This is the danger that the maligner of spirit is up against, for spirit turns away any overt act that is done against its own channel and returns it to the sender. It acts as a protection against the enemies who try to attack its own instruments. George Fox, founder of Quakerism, gives a long list of what happened to those who persecuted him during his earthly ministry. The list is long and impressive. It should serve as a warning to those who are guilty of such deeds. But man in his human state of consciousness is not impressed and continues to, 19, make grave errors that cost him agony, difficulties and more karmic debts. Christ called his body the temple of God. But he was actually referring to it as the instrument for the Holy Spirit to flow through into the external world. What he truly said was that every man had the opportunity to become a channel for the Spirit of God to make use of, to uplift the world. Again, I reiterate that it is only this cosmic spirit which is at act when one tries to harm the God realized. Since the cosmic spirit is a law unto itself, it has the power to return to the sender whatever he might be sending to the holy essence of life. Thus the Spirit of God in the lower world works in a dualistic manner. It can curse the sender or it can bless him. It depends on whatever communication the sender wishes to establish with a person well versed in the spirit nature of God knowledge. Whoever keeps a record of such happenings will find that the law of spirit is exacting in its demands for payment. This is actually karma on a much higher level. For when anyone holds a hostile attitude toward a holy person, it creates a karmic debt which must be paid off. Even though the impact may be stunning and one of shock, the karma is worked off at once. But often it will stay for many years with the individual who has created the debt. My own case books show a large number of incidents that have happened over the past years to those who attempted to make attacks on my person. I also saw what happened to several persons who felt above the spiritual law in trying to malign Sudar Singh, a high spiritual teacher, my first master, and a member of the ancient order of the Vairagyas Adepts of India. Please remember that the person who is attacked by any hostility and is dwelling in the cosmic state of consciousness, is not responsible for whatever happens to the sender of such malignant thoughts or words. He is protected by an armor of light, and the attacker is actually the responsible party and the victim of his own makings. There is an old spiritual law which must be alluded to here, 20, no harm can come to anyone unless he so desires it. In other words, when we open our consciousness to harm, it will become a part of ourselves and bring injury into our lives. but under the protection of the Spirit nothing can injure us in any manner whatsoever.